How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. Maxbond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back, everyone, to another D-Grads podcast, your Degrassi Rewatch podcast, with two of the stars of that show who have never seen the show that they're reporting on.
Until now. This week on D-Grads, we're revisiting Relax, yet another episode about the pressure of fitting in high school, but this one also sees a return of psychic Terry and palm readings.
We are your hosts. I am Shane Warren Kipple, a.k.a. Gavin Spinner Mason.
And I am Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogart.
This was a crazy week. I'm happy that we made it to this point. As much as I stress about the preparation that goes into every episode, once we get going, I have so much fun. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my
just a little preparation high school.
If anyone, and listen, I'm not complaining, even though it sounds like a complaint, but I know, like, Mike and I, our system here
system.
Prepares. Yes, we have a system. 1 week, someone prepares to do the recap, which is more time consuming than you would think. And but they get the week off for editing. The other person edits the episode.
That's right.
Even though the editing takes so much more time, I think I enjoy that more than coming up with like witty remarks and the
synopsis
for the
episode. I like writing the recap. I feel like I get to sort of get into the head of the writers of the actual show because I have to like do synopses for all the scenes and try to understand what the character arcs are, and seeing it from their perspective invites me into the writer's room. And sometimes I'm like, this is really brilliant. And then sometimes, like this week, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
Kind of like, why did we need this scene in the episode?
It felt like there were 12 to 15 extra scenes in this episode that just didn't need to be there. But, you know, important scene or not important cannot just, deem a scene not to be too important to describe. So you still have to do it. And it takes you that much longer. And it's just, it's monotonous. And it, anyway.
But I love the B plot so much because we get to get back to this, like the spooky Terry, the occult. And like, I kind of thought, oh, this is Degrassi doing The Craft, the movie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
The Craft of Light.
Okay, fair enough. And I think this must have been right around the time that the Weakest Link game show came out, because they said Weakest Link so many times in this episode. And I think they were just...
You are the Weakest Link.
Goodbye. But so I have certain issues with this episode. We'll get into it. Let's just go,
let's get into it.
I need to relax.
Released in 1984, Relax was a song by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually quite controversial. I don't know if you know this, but it was banned by the BBC because it had overtly sexual lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which obviously made people love it even more because you want what you can't have.
Yeah, and there was controversy around it. Exactly. That's,
yeah. And so it actually only grew even more popular and eventually was like top of the charts in the UK. I mean, it's pretty clear why, you know, it's like every character in this episode wishes mm-hmm. that they could tell Liberty to just relax every mm-hmm. 5 seconds.
When did Like a Virgin by Madonna come out? Like, did that get play?
Like a Virgin was 84 also. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So it's funny how people pick and choose. It's selective outrage, you know?
Wait, you don't think that Like a Virgin had backlash?
Was it banned in the UK? Because I can't imagine that Madonna had a song banned in the UK. It could have been because of her star power that it wasn't banned. You know what I mean?
The church was trying to ban Like a Virgin, basically.
Was it?
Yeah, her whole Madonna's entire shtick was like
everything. Yeah. We're happy that they're people that stick to their guns and fly in the face of adversity with their art and, you know, blaze those trails. Long before that was the only way to get famous, you know, like you now, it seems like that's only
all
way
you need to do. Yeah.
That's all you need to do. And back then it was
you actually had to have a talent, folks. Back then. And 5 minutes in, we're sliding into Boomer.
Here we go. Okay, so
you crazy this episode, kids and your prank YouTube channels.
As you said, Mike, this episode is called Relax, and this is season 2, episode 17, Canadian air date, January 26, 2003, U.S. air date, August 8th, 2003, written by Shelley Scarrow, Sean Yara, and the teleplay, Craig Cornell. This is also directed by Lori Lind. All right, well, we've preambled for long enough, Mike.
Tell me how it starts.
We open on tryouts for floor hockey. I said that like the Joker. First, we're going to have tryouts. Make it fast. All right. Tryouts for the floor hockey team, hosted by Miss H. Liberty gives it her all, but just doesn't seem to have the special sauce.
The stick handling skills are
leave a little something to be desired. Yeah. Miss H whistles everyone in and tells them that those who made the cut will see their names posted on the sheet tomorrow. And as everyone leaves, Miss H asks Liberty to stay behind for a moment. She can't envision a world where she doesn't make the cut. But Miss H lets her know that she, in fact, did not make the team. But as a consolation, maybe, sort of, offers Liberty the team manager position. Liberty graciously accepts, but as Miss H leaves, you can see all over Liberty's face that she looks at this as anything but a win.
Did they just create this job for her because they knew that if Liberty didn't make the team, she was probably going to do some investigative journalism and publish something and smear the school?
Like a scathing review. Yeah. Like,
were they placating her? They created this role.
Are you sitting on a Swiss ball right now, Mike?
Yes, I am sitting on a
Swiss
ball.
Are you actually?
I hope you would notice. I should have told you at the beginning. I'm trying a new thing, folks.
Okay. You're trying to strengthen that core?
I'm in my yoga era.
The credits have rolled. Now we're with Manny, Emma, and Kendra as they consult the team list, and they're all excited to be on it.
Yeah, the quintessential drama club. Who made the show? Mm-hmm. Who's in the play?
To initiate Manny onto the team, they shroud her in silly string. I guess they had a silly string budget because in the last they really, you
it's
know.
It's left over from the party.
From the party, exactly. It's like, what's the expiry date here? Yeah. I don't know if silly string is still a big thing, but it's so much fun. It's such a pain in the ass to clean up, though.
It's so silly.
And string-like. Liberty walks up feeling left out. The girls pause their celebrating to congratulate Liberty on her team manager position. And Liberty says that she looks forward to keeping them all in line.
Ha!
Yeah.
She's already flexing.
Yeah. Now Liberty gets... what's the name of this teacher? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It's Mr. P.
Mr. P? What's his like?
Yeah. New teacher alert, right? We got a new teacher on screen. Mr. P, he's played by Tom Malesis. It's Mr. Perino.
Mr. Perino. That's right. We'll go with Mr. P. So, Liberty gets her essay outline on Napoleon praised by Mr. P. And he tells her that she can do anything that she sets her mind to. He's talking about making the essay compelling. But Liberty quickly corrects him that obviously she cannot do everything she puts her mind to. Liberty is still quite bothered by not making the team. We are in Armstrong's math class, and Terry does a palm reading for Hazel,
yes,
which an onlooking Ashley doesn't react well to, reminding Terry of the forces that she's tampering with.
Love how the goth girl is cautioning them, like, yeah. I don't know, guys, this stuff's scary.
Terry seems to respect it, so I don't know why Ashley would have an issue. It's not like she was disrespecting something there. She really meant what she was saying.
I guess Ashley, goth Ashley's pulling rank on Terry.
Maybe. Paige enters, disregarding Ashley's dismay of everything that's going on, and asks for her own palm to be read. And as she does this, Terry seems to catch something quite bothersome, but covers it up quickly by telling Paige her palm is perfect. Paige does not buy it as she clocks Terry's reaction and insists on getting the truth, to the chagrin of Coach, who threatens Paige with detention if he cannot commence his class on polynomials.
Boo. Boo. Just let the kids palm read, man.
Now we're outside, and Hazel flags down Terry and tears into her for avoiding her all day. She's not avoiding Hazel. She's avoiding Paige. And the reason? Paige's lifeline doesn't exist.
Paige is gonna die.
Yeah. Terry doesn't know how to tell Paige she is going to die.
Clearly.
God, love TV. She overhears a little bit of what's being said, and Paige demands clarification from Terry. What is going on? And Terry begrudgingly tells her that the lifeline is non-existent.
Yeah, and this is where the episode that I wanted to happen splits from the episode that did happen.
Because
it would have been so cool if this thing went into some sort of like Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Where the whole thing is about, oh my God, all these signs are happening that she almost gets hit by
a car. Is it real, or are they doing this to themselves? Kind of like the last time, right?
There could have been so, it could have been so dramatic. Instead, it doesn't really lift off for me.
That's right.
I wanted a portal to hell to open up and, you know, demons to come out and grab Paige and try to take her to the underworld. Like, this is the Degrassi that I demand.
This is where the B plot literally became filler.
Yeah.
Now we're with Liberty again, and she is in the school laundry room laundering the team's uniforms, if you can even call them that, while fantasizing about her team hoisting her on their shoulders and chanting her name after winning the championship, and Liberty is holding that trophy. Now, I'm wondering, like, was Liberty thinking of herself as a star player or
management?
Yes.
Really good management material.
That's right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think she wishes she was playing and she was going to be the hero, but.
Of course.
This was so sad to see her doing laundry. This is what made me realize, oh, Hatzilakos just created this position so that she had someone to do laundry and to keep her.
It's her water boy. It's her Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, it's her Bobby Boucher.
Coach Clan. So Coach A, he enters and asks Liberty how she's liking her new position. She questions why the girls' team's jerseys are so low in quality compared to the boys, and Coach explains because there is a limited budget and more boys' teams than girls, most of that budget is allocated to the boys' teams.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty decides that she's going to fundraise to bring the girls' team up to standard. And Liberty's first target for sponsorship, that would be none other than Joey Jeremiah.
The Panthers financier.
Yeah, there you go.
The owner of the Panthers.
He's already the owner. That's right.
He's always in those box seats.
That's right. Joey is already sponsoring the boys' basketball team. However, he seems to soften a little bit when Liberty shows him the state of disrepair of their pennies. He tells her that he can only afford to sponsor one team, but he will think about it.
There was also a Toronto streetcar transition. And if you're playing that drinking game along with me, we would be a little tipsy by now.
So now at practice, Liberty shows the team a mock-up of her new jersey design, and everybody loves it. She explains that Joey needs to be convinced to sponsor the team. They really need to impress him. But Miss H appears, brushes Liberty's fashion initiative off, as practicing is the way to ensure wins, not style. Sends Liberty off to rewash those pennies.
Hush up and do the washing. That was so pretty intense.
It was so, as a coach, you're like, you want your team to...
You want them to play in clean clothes.
You want to play in clean clothes, but you also, the way that you play is more important than the way that you look, right?
Sure.
And also leadership, you don't want too many voices in players' heads. You don't want a coup.
She's like the Cinderella in this episode.
A little bit. All over her face, she sees that her contributions are seemingly unneeded and definitely unappreciated.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Now we're with Paige, and she sits next to Hazel in the media lab. Hazel reads off a website, realizes that there, for many reasons, her reading was done improperly. She has nothing to fear. She is not going to die. Just then, though, a gloomy Terry appears and hands Paige a funeral bouquet.
Yeah.
Obviously collected from the flower box outside, and expresses her grief and sorrow for the loss of her friend. And then when she leaves, Hazel and Paige share a laugh over this and brush the whole thing off.
It's like the ring.
Paige goes back and looks at all her photos and her face is blurred out. And she keeps getting phone calls that are giving her that countdown. Liberty eats lunch outside now, but she's in a bit of a mood. And Emma, Manny, and Kendra walk up and let Liberty know how much they loved her uniform design. But Liberty sulks. She was put in her place by Miss H, and she understands it now. Just then, Jimmy, Spinner, and Sean walk up and accuse Liberty of trying to steal their sponsorship from Jeremiah Motors. After some choice comments back and forth between the boys' team and the girls' team, Liberty bets the house on a girls versus boys floor hockey match where the winner gets the sponsorship and the loser does the other team's laundry for a week.
Only Spinner there dissing himself to diss others. Awesome. I sweat like a pig.
I sweat like a pig. And Jimmy's like, yeah, you do. The guys are very happy about this. Confident that boys will reign supreme. The girls, far more apprehensive. And also, like, wouldn't she have needed to consult Joey before doing something like that? Like, yeah, the sponsorship is ours if we beat you. That's not really her decision to make.
She is taking over.
Liberty plants the new team Bible.
Yeah, it's like 600 pages long.
Yeah.
Liberty has her stuff together so much that she's got like she's reading Napoleon and trying to figure out how to apply it to her hockey team. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then when she talks to a boy, she doesn't know, she has no idea what to do. That's what I like about her character. She's such a contradiction. She's so advanced in every other way.
There's nothing that can really prepare you to be talking to people that you are romantically interested in. You know, it doesn't matter how smart you are.
It's a mystery.
You can be a bumbling idiot. It still happens to me. Now the girls walk with Miss H and explain why this match is necessary, pleading for her to coach them through this. But Miss H is just too busy with her teaching schedule. So Liberty steps up as coach. And I love how Manny, like, just to the sky, she's like, who will supervise us now?
I feel like when I see Cassie do some of these lines, she's secretly making fun of them. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Cassie has a thing where she doesn't take the line seriously. And if she thinks it's stupid, she performs it in a way
that lets them know. That Chris Farley documentary, the I Am Chris Farley, when he was on the outs with Lorne Michaels, when he spent a little time away from SNL to get his mind right and everything, he came back and he did that Pepper Boy sketch.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's like famous Pepper Boy. Yeah. And, but he did it wearing a big beard that basically covered his whole face, and that was just his own choice. No one asked him to do that, and he was just supposed to be a mild-mannered guest in this restaurant, but he's like, yes, Pepper Boy, give me all the pepper, and stole the scene and apparently pissed everyone off because he wasn't supposed to be doing that. But amazing. Yeah, I don't know.
And Cassie steals scenes because she does that, because doesn't give a
right, which makes her delivery on lines like that palatable.
I agree. Right? She's helping. She's helping.
Yeah. Cassie is the queen of throwing it away while still making it interesting.
Yeah.
Because lots of other people, when they hear just throw it away, it's just kind of like, you know, speed over it and give it no emotion. Yeah. And she'll find something.
Great. I'm going to do whatever I want with it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. You're not even going to be able to guess how I'm going to do it.
And I just imagine in Video Village afterwards, they're just like, yeah, okay, good. Okay. Moving on. Yeah. Gets herself like 5 extra close-ups in an episode because of that.
She does.
She was probably the highlight of this episode for me, her reactions to a whole bunch of things. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Except there was one thing that she did where I'm like, oh, inconsistent. She hurt her wrist, but then she was grabbing her elbow. She was not just supporting her arm. She was grabbing her elbow at one point. And I'm like, okay.
Doesn't check out. Whatever. You're an actor. You know what it's like in the heat of the moment.
I think if actors moving forward for a heightened sense of realism, if you're going to get hurt in a scene, just hurt yourself. What I mean? So you know where the pain is located.
Go all the way. Hey, this is horrible advice if you're a new actor. Do not do that.
The union's going to come after me. All right. Now, Liberty plants the new team Bible in front of Emma and Manny, who cannot really believe what they're seeing. It's entitled 100 Days to Glory, even though they have like 12 hours. It's outlining all the steps that they must take to be victorious in this match, including, but not limited to, yoga, meditation, and giving up junk food. That was Manny's hill to die on, right? Mm-hmm. So none of these things are things that the girls are on board with. But that's just Emma and Manny. What's the rest of the team going to think? Well, they share in the sentiment and they huddle in a circle making fun of this new game plan that Liberty's introduced to them.
Their boss, their overlord.
And as they're huddled around joking about this and protesting the idea of it, Liberty enters to the sound of a war drum, draped in a cape, a la Napoleon. When she's questioned about her cape, she starts citing the teachings of Napoleon of commanding respect and exercising authority.
I feel an affinity for Liberty. I'm outing myself. This is not my proudest thing, but I love that. Like, I love jumping into something and doing the extra mile and kind of LARPing my way into a new headspace. And I'd be wearing the Napoleon cape, and I'd read a Napoleon book if I had to lead a team suddenly to victory and I thought it could help me. And I will say it's not my finest moment, but I also tend to get intense when I get really into something. Yeah. More intense than the other people who are also involved sometimes. And then sometimes I end up pissing people off because I'm the one pushing everything and pushing everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it happened to me like 3 weeks ago. I'm on an Activate team. It's all these different games in these different rooms, and that you're running around, you're hitting buttons, you're trying to match shapes, you're trying to, it's very active. And me and my boys made a team. We're called the Chop Dunks. If you see us out there, know us. And we were doing that, and it was just for fun. But somewhere along the way, it got really freaking serious for me, where I would study the games and I would kind of mathematically try to think about how we can improve our score, because we're playing against other players globally. I was coming in with all these ideas and I'm telling them, you know, what we should do. And then I got a little bit too big for my britches and I ended up hurting some feelings and like tempers flared and I had to kind of like walk it back and say, I'm sorry, I got a little too intense. This is just fun. For the rest of the season, after that tension, I was just, I'm fun. I'm Mr. Fun Guy. And if anybody asked me what I thought, I'd be like, honestly, it doesn't matter. We could do that or we could do that. I've got no preference. I'm just having a good time.
It's hard. Anyone who has ever been part of a team before and tried to lead it, it's this fine line. You can't push too hard. You already have to have the respect of your team before you jump into that role. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be firm. You have to have your wits about you. You have to manage egos. You have to be understanding. There's leadership is not just about barking orders. No one's going to listen to you, even if you're right.
You've got to be likable. You've got to be fair.
Yeah, there has to be a spirit there, right? They need to follow you into battle. And I can understand why someone like Liberty, that has probably read every book about leadership and studied historical figures that were leaders,
totally,
just looks at their characteristics, but doesn't understand that she doesn't see the forest for the trees, right?
Yeah. Learned my lesson.
It's about time, Mike. So the team can't get over this cape, but she stands tall, blows her whistle to silence all of them, and directs the team to begin the practice and take their positions. And maybe just out of shock, they all listen. Now we're at the lockers. Paige continues her ruse for Terry on being scared to die. And trying to console her in any way that she can, Terry offers her services as a friend. Anything to ease Paige's pain. And Paige has an idea, as she always does, and asks for Terry to do her book report for her as she's too distraught to concentrate.
Rude.
Terry agrees to take this on.
She's the last person who deserves this in the school.
Well,
what?
I mean, no. If you tell someone that you're going to die, you're already kind of dead to me. Like, I don't know. She just gave up on her completely. I would get annoyed if I didn't buy into any of the spiritual. Okay?
Let me see your palm right now. Just a quick sec.
No,
I wouldn't be able to tell you what line was which.
I don't want to know. I feel like, I don't know why Paige wanted her palm read in the first place. I don't know if Paige really buys into this stuff. Obviously not enough if she gets a reading like that and wasn't scared. So yeah, I don't know where this all came from. Now, Jimmy and Spinner watch and laugh through the glass as Liberty, an emerging tyrant, berates her team for not learning the plays and not having the right attitude towards them. It's clear that her leadership style is not gelling at all with the team, and she seems totally unaware that she is quickly losing them.
Oh, Liberty. Relax.
Don't do it. Liberty now walks through the hallway and has it out with Kendra, who tells Liberty that the team doesn't like her plays and thinks that the plays are as useless as Liberty is as a coach.
Kendra's being a little mean also.
Well, she is Spinner's sister, you know?
That's true. She does have that Spinner edge to her.
She does.
But like, I'm so curious about, because the actress who played Kendra,
Katie Lai,
talked about being bullied on the set. Mm-hmm. I'm just so curious to know who it was.
I know, me too.
I feel like we had such a supportive set. I feel me like too. The set was like really supportive and everybody was loved. Mm-hmm. So I was shocked to hear that.
I mean, we were all high school age, right? There were so many of us there.
I feel bad for her. I like really don't. I really, really do. I was like, oh man, it kind of, when you hear something like that, it takes the shine off of it a little bit that somebody could walk away feeling like that and having that experience. So I was concerned. I was like, oh damn.
Yeah. Cause she's talking about our house there, right? And if it was in disorder in certain ways, it's on all of us. Yeah. Even if we didn't know.
For sure. Yeah, that sucks.
Jumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Now we're in Media Lab again, and Paige and Hazel, still in character, watch Hazel. As Terry, Hazel, that's right, watch as Terry submits Paige's book report at the expense of getting her own done in time. But Terry is happy to lose the 10% of her mark to help her dying friend. As Paige and Hazel quietly snicker over Terry's gullibility, Ashley overhears and now is wise to the act.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley finds a tired Terry on the floor, leaned up against the lockers.
Yes, because all serious conversations, people, happen by crouching down in front of lockers.
Ground level, yeah.
You got to go to ground.
Terry has gone to ground, literally. And Ashley finds her there and begins telling her what she just overheard. Terry, looks like that zit is about to burst.
You see it in profile too, and it's like pointy.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just want to squeeze it.
Spectators take to the stands as the boys' team stands on the floor waiting for the girls to arrive. Joey Jeremiah is refereeing. Also, don't know how he's allowed to do that. It's probably some sort of like
special privileges.
Right.
He's the owner of the team.
Yep. JT is mascot. Jimmy and Spinner make snide remarks about the girls' team as they wait. But to the sound of the war drum again, Liberty, still in cape, appears with her team in tow. She promptly kicks the spectators out, declaring this to be a closed set.
Crazy.
And wow. They begrudgingly oblige.
You know, it'd be funny to find out if Sarah Bearable Tischauer just took artistic liberties with her character.
The cape was her idea.
Yeah, the cape was hers. She brought it. She walked on a set like that and started bossing everybody around.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sarah and Liberty are nothing alike.
No.
Sarah is so chill. She's super laid back. She's very confident in herself. And Liberty is like, yeah. I think if Sarah and Liberty were in a room together, there would be some serious fights.
Alter ego.
It's like a battle royale combo, and who wins?
Yeah.
We're taking bets here.
Ego or alter ego?
I think Sarah would walk out, unless you barred the door.
I'm remembering Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and after he defeats...
Jason Schwartzman, yeah,
his character at the end, and then suddenly Scott has to face off against himself, Nega Scott.
Yeah.
And then the band is waiting outside, and like 10 seconds after, they both walk out joking around with each other. It's like, oh, yeah, no, we just talked for a minute. He's a really cool guy. Yeah, we're going to grab lunch. The game is on. The whistle blows. Jimmy and Kendra face off, and the puck drops. And it is a frenzy. Playmaking seems to have completely gone out the window, and it's just a flurry of sticks and feet out there.
I miss those plastic sticks, man. You remember those? Always trying to bend the like wickedest curve into it.
And
like,
get some flex in it.
An illegal curve so that you could. Yep. It was basically you were creating, it's like a lacrosse stick now. You're just like whipping it.
All right. Are we getting sidetracked by floor hockey now?
No.
So aboard, JT sits, takes off his mascot hat and waits for there to be something to put up on the scoreboard.
Yeah, he hated that thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Wouldn't you?
I don't think. Do you think he was in there the whole time? Because he was in a lot of background shots all the time. Dancing in that mascot costume. What are the odds that they had a stunt mascot in the hot suit?
I am going to say, knowing how they do things, that it would all have been filmed in the same day. So if they were paying him, I believe
he would have been in that suit.
Yeah, that's what
I think too.
Yep.
Don't blame him.
Paige and Hazel talk about going to a movie that night, as Paige has no homework to do for obvious reasons. Paige quips that maybe they could get Terry to pay for the movie, and they have a good laugh over this. They then see Ashley sitting with Terry at a picnic table in front of a Ouija board.
Awesome. When I saw the Ouija board, I was like, okay, cool. But here, did you spot anything wrong with it?
I wouldn't know what is wrong with it.
Okay, you are not supposed to have a Ouija board with the planchette on it with no hands touching the planchette. That is a universal no-no. That's how you get cursed.
Let that be a lesson to you, kids.
Otherwise, bad things happen.
Ashley tells Paige to sit, as she should probably get a second opinion. But Terry barely contains herself right from the get, quickly showing her hand to Paige. And once Paige realizes that the charade is up, she makes a quick exit. Terry runs after her, and Ashley watches on, enjoying herself.
I loved her look, actually. It was pretty good look on Ashley.
Yeah. She's like, I'm born to stir up. I think that was a vindicating moment for Ashley that, you know, she's on the outs with her friends, but her ex-best friend listened to her, and Ashley was right. Terry sees this, and, you know, she shifted her focus to the real enemy. If just for a moment.
I think we see the real Melissa there at the end, too.
I miss her. We'll have her back very soon.
I know.
Back at the game now. It's 4-1 for the boys. Manny has the puck, and Liberty makes play calls from the sidelines, distracting Manny long enough to run into Spinner's shoulder, and she goes down hard. As Joey whistles the play down and assesses Manny's injury, the teams gather around, and Liberty will not allow Manny to leave to go to the nurse, demanding that she show her mettle by playing hurt until the period is over, drawing the ire of everybody there.
Monster.
When they protest, Liberty tells them all to shut up and get back into position, which leads them all, one by one, to drop their sticks, starting with Kendra, and walk off the floor.
Okay, I gotta say, I wasn't that bad with my Chop Dunks team, all right? Yeah. I didn't do that, but pretty close.
How do you think you would do on Amazing Race if you did it with Mika?
I think she would murder me and continue the race by herself. And she would win.
At least you're honest. At least you're honest. If you really, really, really want to test the strength of your relationship, the Amazing Race is the place to do it.
You would see us like in a Mokoro, right? Like on the ocean, you know, those old wooden canoes with the that pontoon, like paddling like this, the two of us. And I would be like yelling, and then she would be like rolling her eyes, and then it would cut back to the presenter, and then it would cut back to us, and I would be gone.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see me anymore.
Well, Mika listened to her husband, Mike, and they find themselves off the coast of Newfoundland when there was nothing about getting into the water in the first place.
She just took me out there to drop me off.
All right.
Another shark attack victim.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So Liberty tells everyone to shut up, get back in their position. Everyone leaves, starting with Kendra. And now Liberty is left as the leader of a one-woman army. Her. She's the only one.
She's the one. Oh, I got what you were picking.
Okay. All right. Well, just being, you know, crystal clear. The boys celebrate the win by forfeit, but Joey reminds them that the girls can still come out and finish.
Okay. Did you notice, though, that that line sounded suspiciously like
coach?
It sounded like an ADR line. No, I think it was Joey. But it sounded like an ADR line, and I think this is an ad line. Sometimes you'll cut away from an actor, hear them off camera.
Yeah.
And the line will be something to transition into the next scene or to clarify something. Because if they had ended that scene there, which I think it was originally scripted,
you would have thought the game was over.
You would have thought it was over. And so in the edit, they're going, oh man, it feels like the game is over. The audience is going to be unclear on this. It's going to be confusing when we come back. And so they write up a line, have the actor come into the voice booth after the fact, and then say it as if they were saying it there in the day. But it really is for the audience's benefit.
The mixing on that line was no good.
Because ADR doesn't
sound... It didn't sound like it belonged in that room, though.
Because it was an ad line. And often ad lines are crammed in to tight spots, editing spots, and they're over-explaining. They don't sound like they did on the day, and they just never quite work.
It didn't feel like they mixed it in with the room tone and everything else. It was off. If it was Mike, if it was Pat, I don't know. It sounded like it could have been either one of them, but they definitely did not say that in the room. And that,
so you make a television show, kids.
Yeah. So yes, very quickly, the boys are told not to celebrate because the girls could still come back out. That's not how it works. A team can't just walk off the field like mid period without forfeiting that game.
You can do whatever Liberty says or else.
We are in the locker room and the team is slowly removing their pinnies and getting changed. Liberty enters, disappointing that her team quit. But Kendra doesn't sugarcoat it anymore, and her and Emma tell Liberty all the reasons why she should not be coaching them. And Liberty now sees.
Finally.
But in that realization, pleads with them, even if she's not coaching them, to please finish the game and not just let the boys win. They hear this and realize that she's right. The girls head back out, sans Liberty. Liberty sits, removes her cape, and is sad to realize that it is she who is the weakest link.
And she says it.
Goodbye. Yeah, she says it. Liberty sits outside the gym now. On the steps, visibly sad, Miss H walks up to get a glimpse of the game through the glass and questions Liberty being out here while her team is still playing in there.
Okay, so you're sitting here feeling sad and you're stroking the Napoleon costume, boohoo, and action. I could see the directing there.
Yeah, there were many moments like this in this episode. Liberty tells Miss H everything, and Miss H tells her that being a coach is more than just winning. It's treading the line between hard work and still having fun. Otherwise, you push too hard and you lose them. And Liberty gets it now, but it's too little too late.
I took that pep talk from Hatzilakos reflecting on my time on my team Chop Dunks, and I really, truly understood what she was teaching me.
I guess you should have watched this episode
before I joined
23 years ago.
That's Mike. Right. I'm late. But I'm a lifelong learner.
Hey, there you go. Liberty does the boys' team's laundry, the punishment. She tries the best she can to hardly touch the soiled jock straps
of stinky spinner.
All spinners' jock straps. All of them. Yeah. 25 of them.
These are all his.
Emma enters and they discuss how the girls came close within one goal, but they still unfortunately lost.
I do want to just point out that in high school in Canada, we all take turns washing the jock straps. So it's never on just one person. It's a sort of like a turn-based. It's kind of like socialism. That's how we do it up here. Yeah.
I was never on a sports team long enough to know who watched the jock straps. I just assumed I had to wash my own.
I think that was right.
Yeah, so Liberty is proud with the performance, but they did not win, which means they will not get the sponsorship, and therefore they will not have the jerseys. But not so fast. Huh? Joey had so much fun watching the girls battle the boys that he sponsored them despite the loss. And they all sport the new jerseys to prove it and bestow Liberty with her own that reads team manager across the back. And on Liberty, feeling like she might be part of the team again, we freeze.
And I feel like
did she learn?
If we didn't, yeah, I know. I feel like if we didn't freeze at that moment, if he let the camera roll a little bit longer, she was about to say something bossy again.
Yeah.
See this detail here? It's supposed to be blue, not yellow.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh,
can you take these back? Just have them redone and reshipped. Thanks.
See, that's an ending that I could have actually gotten behind because this one, it was like she learned nothing. She didn't deserve that team manager jersey at the end of it. What? Because she inspired them to go back out there without her, and she was actually the one that had the idea to get the sponsorship. If those are the reasons, fine. They could have just given her a ceremonial jersey, but not invite her to be team manager. She's not a good manager. So, like, what? I don't get it.
My theory is they were keeping her busy because they knew that she would do a hit piece on the team if she didn't have something to do, if she didn't get hired to do some job. But this episode was, it left a lot to be desired for me. It was kind of like, it just, there was some good foundational stuff. They could have taken it a little bit further. And I feel like we're floundering a little bit. We've had some really good episodes, but it's episode 17. And I mean, this is back when we made, how many episodes are in this season? 22, 24?
Like 20. Yeah. It's getting up there. Yeah.
So
every season has a lemon or two, right?
There was going to be a couple. So, you know.
Yeah. Definitely found it.
Could have been a Halloween episode.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa Welcome Bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Anyway, on that sad note, tell us your thoughts of this episode
by writing in to dgradspodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. And if you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up on our Discord. We've got a Discord channel, Dgrads Alumni. We also release this podcast in video form early with no ads on our Patreon. So check us out there. And we also do, we give you guys some extra content. We're about to start doing some lives on that thing. So that'll
Mike,
be fun.
Mike is also about to release his signature series, Swiss Bouncy Balls.
That's right.
With the same ones,
photo on them.
The same size, the same tensile strength that he's currently bouncing around on. And the only way to get any of that or to see what he's doing is subscribe to that Patreon. And also, I'm very curious to see if anyone's going to write in and go like, this was actually my favorite episode of Degrassi of all.
Oh, no.
Did you imagine?
Did we just get it wrong? Was this the
best episode? I can't listen to your podcast anymore because obviously we do not see eye to eye on what this show means.
We knew we were going to get to this point, but, you know, we're telling it like we feel it and we're being honest.
We're not here to ruin the show or anyone's idea of the show, but we're just going to call it as it is. We don't want to, this isn't a puff piece for Degrassi. This is a real review.
Let's take a look at some Discord questions while we've got the time. I know this one is for a few people wanted to ask Ryan Cooley this question. Nadia and Hay wanted to ask him what his audition process was like. Specifically, Ryan is no longer here. I know. I wish he moved into my house too. Nevertheless, it's a good question. Audition process.
Back then, I mean, Degrassi was my third audition ever. I got a coach who I had never worked with an acting coach before, specifically to prep me for that audition.
Nice.
And it was really like, you know, at that point, didn't know jack about character building. Anyone who auditions knows that they're picking these scenes for you to find places to show your range. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because you're going to get like the scene where we meet you typically, right? You might get three or four scenes. You'll get the scene where you meet the character. You get the scene, maybe where something changes in the relationship. Maybe there's a romance or a rivalry.
Or something romantic, like the first, the meet cute.
The meet cute. And then you're going to get something, you're going to get
angry and sad.
Yeah. You're going to get the midpoint climax. You're going to get the big moment.
Your monologue about like how you actually feel. About
if your character has a monologue, you are definitely doing that in the audition. So what is your process? Because I know a lot of actors have different things. Like some people memorize the words with no emotional attachment, no intensity, nothing to it. They're just memorizing text, and then they start to bring the emotion to it after the fact. Is that you?
That's how I like to do it. It was I found that to be the method that worked best for me. I don't know how well that worked because I don't work all that much. But when you make the choices before you even really understand what the scene's about, then you have a hard time letting them go. That's what I found.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it might have been with Jock, but like many actors, just read the words and. After like the 50th time, the emotion will start to reveal itself to you.
Yeah,
and you just have to play. But like the reality is with many auditions, like I'm just looking for ways to make it interesting. Just find like, what are they going to be looking for here? Where are they going to be looking for here? Here's an opportunity for this. Here's an opportunity for this. Make it interesting. Bring the frame to life and yeah. That's it. What about you?
I'm similar. I try to do the words first, but for me it's like I'm also trying to like a script is a map. It's a sort of like a map of clues that can lead you to some interesting backstory potential or little things that you can bring in. So you might have a hint about a character, about who they are, about where they come from, that tells you about sort of an affectation, an attitude or a philosophy that they have. And what I feel like my job is to sort of give them a potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like a character who's fully real and who feels like they have a life
before, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so,
harder than it sounds, kids.
Yeah. It is, but I'm always like looking for those writer's clues. And every time you read a scene, you're starting to realize, oh, there the things that aren't said, the things that are implied, can lead you to make some interesting choices. So I was always like, you know, making strong choices was always taught to me as being a good, you know, make strong choices no matter what, even if you're wrong, because it's better to be able to commit than to
not
be right.
Really commit to anything. Yeah.
Ultimately, you're never going to know what the director or the writer or anybody has in mind for the character. So you just have to go on your instincts and follow those clues to get there. So that's kind of.
But at the end of the day, if it's not interesting, if you don't make someone feel something, then it's, you might as well not have done it at all. One thing about context though, in building backstory, LB, this was one of the things that stuck with me the most after training with him for years was
Lewis
Bowman. Said like, yeah, the backstory, like don't, like, yes, backstory is important, but don't think about too much about bringing a last scene into a current scene if you don't know what that scene is, because when it's all laid out in the final cut, that's all going to be taken care of. The audience will know what they need to know. And his example was, our class was being filmed that day. It was like a scene in a movie, and it's about this acting coach's life, and he walked in and he was late. And he's like, sorry, guys, I'm late. It's been a rough day. And then you see the scene before, the audience already has all the information. And the difference of how that line is going to read is going to be what happened in that scene before. Was he at a bar getting drunk on his own? Or do you see him sitting on the side of a bed, putting his wedding ring back on? While someone is getting dressed in the background, it's just, there's so many different approaches, and there's no right way.
Yeah. There is this sort of like old, I guess, piece of wisdom about what character really is. And that is like, it's your performance and your commitment to a performance and the writer writing the words and writing that character, right? Like it's a combination, and it's actually an illusion, really, right? And so it kind of, it's a spell, and it's what you, to speak to your point, it is to some degree, because of the context of a scene that's already been written by, you know, somebody who's put it all together and thought about it, you know, you just have to be present and there and really give yourself over to what is happening, is maybe a better way to put it. And the illusion of that mixed with everything the audience already knows about your character up until that point, and everything that your character says and does in the scene creates this feeling that they've, you know, they're a real living, breathing thing. It's magic. To me, it's magic, and I love it.
In Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston has this great moment that he talks about in interviews where, spoiler alert, but it's an old show now.
So we're good.
He is being accused by Jesse for poisoning Jesse's girlfriend's son, where up to that point, Jesse thought that his son got into the ricin that Jesse misplaced. And Walt was defending it. He was saying, like, I swear on my children's life, I swear that I did not do this. And he meant it. He meant it. And later on, like in a read through later on in that season, when it gets to the episode where you see that it was, in fact, Walt that poisoned the kid, Bryan Cranston was shocked because that information was withheld from him.
Yeah.
He didn't know. So in that moment, he was earnest. He really meant it. And then later on, the story fills in and it's like, oh, no.
Now it's even more complicated. And he's even more complicated of a character.
And he becomes that much more ruthless, but it wasn't totally his choice.
Yep.
That was the writer of the show knowing.
Very cool. We got an email here. We'll do one more. Chelsea says, hey guys, I'm 4 months postpartum and have been powering through Degrassi TNG on HBO. I was a huge fan when I was in middle and high school, and I'm 34 now, and this rewatch has been like a warm blanket for my brain. It's like comfort food in television form. I started listening to the podcast this week as well because of ADHD hyperfixation, and I'm loving it. You guys are great.
Anything that we can do, I mean, just knowing that you can find, you know, some solace and we could provide a little escape, very, very happy that we get to do that for you.
Yeah, if we can be part of your healing journey and get mom back into the right frame of mind, then I'm stoked to be a part of it. And we just wish you all the best and a speedy recovery.
Yeah, very much so. All right. We're here. We made it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at us go. Well, thank you, everyone, for sitting through this one as well. We tried to make the episode as spicy as possible because it was lacking a little seasoning, but that's okay.
Yeah, I had to make some serious admissions here.
Yeah.
Now people are going to think I'm a horrible friend and never want to be on a sports team with me.
Well, it's okay. We're on this team together, Mike. And this is a type of sport, you know?
Thanks, buddy.
It's all right.
And can we also mention how you guys really keep this podcast going? Shane and I wouldn't be able to do it without your support. So head over to Patreon if you want to see us continue, because you're keeping us alive here.
We really appreciate you. We love the enthusiasm. We love you writing in. Keep doing that. And until next week, this has been another D-Grads podcast with Shane Kippel, Mike LaBelle. We'll talk to you soon.
Chowsers.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.